What is your definition of health? How does it really work? How is it we end up with ailments, aches, and pains? What is it that we can do to regain our good health? You're listening to Healthy You Radio with your host, Dr. Richard Hansen, licensed and certified in chiropractic and applied kinesiology. Let's see what those apples are that keep the doctor away.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the Healthy You Radio program here on WJTN AM 1240. Joining us in studio is Dr. Richard Hansen again this week as we discuss a slew of topics regarding your health. And, of course, the Healthy You Radio program is brought to you by Dr. Richard Hansen and Southern Tier Chiropractic. To learn more about good health, you can find Dr. Hansen on the internet at rsh-dc.com. Dr. Hansen can also be reached at his office here in Jamestown at 664-0445 inside the Medical Arts Building. So, Dr. Hansen, how are you this morning?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. And today is going to be a great topic, I think, John. We're going to be pulling together a lot of the concepts that we've been reviewing and talking about in previous weeks. The title of today's show is going to be Holistic Health and Wellness. More to the point, the connections between muscles, organs, and emotions. Our whole body connects together, and we're going to talk about how one aspect of our health can influence the other and things that we can do about it, and what can go wrong, and how can we help correct that.
Right.
I'd like to start out with a concept called the triad of health. And the triad of health, imagine yourself standing in the middle of a giant equilateral triangle. So on each side of the triangle itself represents different main components of our health makeup.
Okay.
The bottom of the triangle is the musculoskeletal system. Everybody can see that. That's the muscles, the bones. You can put your hands right on your legs. That's the musculoskeletal system. And that part of our system helps to move us from one place to the other. And we want to have good health. We don't want arthritis, for example.
Right.
Another side of the triangle is our internal organs, a heart and liver and intestines. And we need all of that for to supply energy and oxygen to our body so we can move about. And then the third side of that triangle is the neurologic system. And the nerves connect everything together. The nerves go to the musculoskeletal system. The nerves go to internal organs. And so we're going to be looking toward this equilateral triangle is a main component of today's discussion, and it's a main component of my work as a chiropractor and as a kinesiologist, which are some of the things we're going to be talking about today as well.
Oh, okay.
The more information about, more to the point with the triad of health, on the one side of the triangle, the neurologic side, well, the higher aspects of the nervous system includes the brain.
Of course.
And the brain includes the mind, and the mind includes emotions.
Okay.
And so now we can start to begin to see how there's a connection between emotions and the body. This is a topic that we're going to be talking about more and more throughout the day, and you'll be hearing more and more in the health community as well. And if one side of the triangle is overburdened or dysfunctional or problematic, then the other two sides are going to be affected right along with it. So the neurologic system, which includes the mind and brain and emotions, and the musculoskeletal system and internal organ systems, all connected together by the neurologic system. And that leads us to the next point I want to talk about today. A very important point that I utilize in my work is something called the somatovisceral reflex pattern. I'll say that again.
Okay.
Somato, that's means the body, soma, the
okay,
body.
Right.
Visceral, that's the guts, you know, internal organs.
Gotcha.
And a reflex pattern. They influence one another. Well, how can that be? One is one and the other is the other. Well, it's connected by the neurologic system. And the same nerves that go to, and think of it again with this triad of health, the same nerves that go to nearby muscles also go to nearby organs. They're on the same nerve circuit.
Okay.
So there's a muscle-organ neurologic relationship. And if there's something going on with one, it will neurologically influence the other. For example, if someone is having digestive problems, like bloating or gas, diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, then the body tries to heal that, and it'll put in, it'll start sending in different kind, different loads of nerve input.
Right.
And blood flow and lymphatic drainage. And it starts putting in nutrients and says, hey, you know, start to heal. Well, if there's altered nerve, blood, and lymph to that organ, that means there's going to be altered nerve to the muscle on that same nerve circuit.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that muscle wasn't planning on having different nerve, different nerve input, different nerve tone to it. And so if that muscle works best at a certain level of nerve input and all of a sudden there's either more or less, then that's going to change the function of that muscle. So now we can begin to see that the musculoskeletal system can start having muscular imbalances associated with visceral dysfunction. So, and it's the, it can go the other way as well.
Of course.
But it's...
kind of like taking from Peter to pay Paul, and now Peter doesn't have what he needs.
And so now Peter, you know, if Paul's horse has a sore foot, well, Peter's horse can end up with a sore foot even though he didn't do anything.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting.
And an example of that is again, if you have digestive problems, well, the abdominal muscles are on the same nerve circuit as the small intestines.
Okay.
So someone may have low back pain associated with gastrointestinal signs and symptoms. And another example of that is the lungs. If someone has a cold or flu, if they smoke cigarettes, they may have congestion or cough or shortness of breath. And the deltoid muscle in the shoulder is on the same nerve circuit as the lungs. So if someone is having lung problems, they may start having shoulder problems as well.
Huh.
And this is the a key component of how I address and the training that I've gone through with chiropractic and especially kinesiology. Kinesiology, you folks, I know you've heard me refer to this week to week. Well, what is kinesiology?
Good question.
Kinesiology or kinetics means the study of motion. We've heard of potential energy and kinetic energy. Well, potential is stored energy, and kinetic energy is the actual movement.
Oh, okay.
So kinetic energy is movement, and so kinesiology is the study of movement. And in the human body, that's what moves us about. Well, muscles and hook into the skeletal system, and muscles move us about. So I place a lot of attention upon muscular strengths and weaknesses. And so that doubles up the kind of approach that I can provide for each patient, more than just the skeletal system. Let's look at the musculoskeletal system. And now with these concepts that we've been talking about, the triad of health and the somatovisceral reflex pattern, we now know that neurologically, as the health of the musculoskeletal system hooks right up with the health of the internal organ capacity and the health of the mind and emotions, because the body can influence the mind and the mind can influence the body. That's a basic concept of how I address each patient.
And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, and obviously equilateral triangle is exactly that. You want to have the same on all three sides. So if one is out of whack, it obviously would
pull the other two sides out.
Yeah, so it does make a lot of sense.
Well, there's a term called homeostasis, and that means, you know, balance of the body.
Right.
And that's what our bodies have this amazing capacity to acclimate and accommodate to different stressors that we're faced with day to day. But sometimes stressors just push us over the top, and then that can push one side of the triangle out of distortion. A very obvious example of that is a car accident. That's a high physical stress, and you know that will really distress one side of the triangle. But that'll pull the other two sides in there too. Of course, you're going to be emotionally distraught, and that can influence internal organ capacity as well.
Easily.
If not injured during the accident, neurologic association with a somatovisceral reflex pattern.
Huh.
So let's talk about, we're beginning to talk about stressors influencing these different sides of the triangle. Let's talk about stress and neurologic disorganization right after this station identification.
Hey, you are listening to WJTN and the Healthy You Radio program. Welcome, everybody. It's brought to you today by Dr. Richard Hansen and Southern Tier Chiropractic. To learn more about your good health, you can find Dr. Richard Hansen on the internet at rsh-dc.com. Dr. Hansen can also be reached at his office here in Jamestown at 664-0445 inside the Medical Arts Building. And now back to Dr. Richard Hansen.
Well, John, we're talking about stress and neurologic disorganization, the triad of health, somatovisceral reflex pattern, and these are big concepts, but in simplicity, it's just one part of the body with dysfunction there can influence the other parts of the body as well. So high stress can cause a disruption of normal nerve function, and that can affect things like it, since the higher aspects of the nervous system belongs to the brain, then neurologic dysfunction can influence things like attention span, concentration, memory, cognition, that's our capacity to focus. Prolonged stress can also adversely affect the function of our internal organs, glands, and muscles. And general nerve function can revert to a plan B. If it's struggling at plan A, it'll take a step back and say, well, we'll at least make sure that we can do these particular functions and we'll let go of that. So our body can go into plan B if it's overstressed. So in the triad of health, neurologic interaction can be overstressed or confused or dysfunctional, that triangle, and it can throw the other two sides off. Poor digestion can end up with problems with the pancreas or their liver or stomach or intestines. We can end up with food allergies, problems with the digestive system itself, food allergies, gastritis, indigestion, bloating, heartburn, ulcers. But we can also end up with problems with muscular tension. We talked about abdominal muscles being associated with the digestive system. Other muscles in and around the hip and low back area are associated with the digestive system. And so we can end up with musculoskeletal problems as well. And it can influence neurologic organization, which can end up in the brain and cognition capacity. And there's something called brain fog. You know how sometimes that we just feel like we're spacey or, why did I do that? I set that down somewhere. Where did it go? What's that word I was thinking of? And you can't quite pull up the word. Well, that's brain fog. And that can be associated with bodily capacity. So the body and the mind can interact one with the other. And we want to start talking about, there are different things that can influence us. And we want to talk about what those different influences are so we can manage those stressors. So now we're going to start talking about stress management.
Okay.
And that's basically managing the stress. And there are different kinds of stress.
Easier said than done.
it's very easy to say, very difficult to do, but it is so worthwhile to do so. And it's hard. It's hard to try to take care of our health, but it just feels a lot better to feel good.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is it feels good to feel good. And it does take some input, participation, responsibility, but what a great, glorious, it just to get up in the morning and feel energetic instead of dreading the day. I prefer that.
Me too.
And who doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about what are the different kinds of stressors that influence us day to day. Well, everybody thinks of, number one right off the bat, emotional stress.
Right.
And we all know what that is. There's also physical stress, a car accident. That's high. Yeah, it's obvious physical stress. There's environmental stress, the work environment that we are involved in, industrial work, at the turn of the century or the other century.
Yeah, right.
I'm starting to date myself.
Good disclaimer there.
Yeah. And there's temperature stress. If we're too hot, if we're too cold, that's a stress upon our system. There's dietary stress, which we are always talking about week to week here, and we hear in all the media, and it makes a difference. And, of course, the holidays are coming up, too.
Here we go.
So, folks, be careful. And chemical stress. If we're exposed to chemicals like household chemicals, there's tons of those now compared to 100 years ago.
That's true.
And also medications are a chemical. They have wonderful benefits, but they can have some side effects. Plus, there's so-called recreational drugs, illicit, illegal drugs. That's a stressor upon the system as well. So these are the kind of stressors that we face day to day: emotional, physical, environmental, temperature, dietary, and chemical stress. So in today's modern society, we are constantly bombarded daily by these stressors, and we can all usually readily acclimate to all these stressors. Our body has an amazing ability to adapt and acclimate. But sometimes we can be stressed. It's not just a little bit of this stress and a little bit of that. Our body deals with each little bit. It's one big ball of wax. And so that ball can get pretty big sometimes and start rolling downhill. So sometimes just one small stressor can be the straw that breaks a camel's back. Someone can say, Dr. Hansen, I just don't really know why I started feeling so poorly recently, but it's the small things that add up into one big ball of wax. So it's important, folks, to take care of all aspects of our health, of the things that we can take care of, things we can't.
Of course.
But it is important to take care of the other ones, because you can make that big ball of wax of stress smaller and to keep it from starting to roll downhill. So it's important to start addressing these things.
Yeah.
So it's like... Because if we don't, it's almost like we're an accident waiting to happen. In other words, I don't know why I'm suddenly having digestive problems or why I'm having such bad headaches. Well, it's the big ball of wax is starting to roll.
Yeah. It's like a snowball effect.
It's a snowball effect. Yeah, cascade effect. So it's like I said, it's like we're an accident waiting to happen. So let's look at some examples of excessive stress. Emotional, physical, environmental, temperature, dietary. And again, these are the kind of things that I'm always dealing with my work. And by looking toward this whole somatovisceral reflex pattern, I have patients that come in for things like musculoskeletal neck pain, back pain. That's very common, of course.
Of course.
But they're beginning to talk to me about, well, not beginning. I've been at this for 20 years, about headaches and digestive problems and allergies and hormonal imbalances and colds, flus, because through the neurologic system and with my background in chiropractic and kinesiology, we can look at one's overall health and not just neck pain alone. And we can see that the whole body is included, and so I try to incorporate one's overall health with all of this. So high stress, either emotional, physical, environmental, temperature, dietary, or chemical, will start triggering a whole reaction in the body. And the main thing that happens is a reaction with the adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands are these two little... They're like little caps, hats that sit on top of the kidneys.
Right.
And
yes.
And in today's modern society, they should be as big as the kidneys themselves.
You would think.
But the adrenal glands start to react, and everybody's heard of adrenaline, and that starts the body getting revved up to react to a perception of danger.
Right. Fight or flight.
That's right. That's exactly right, because there's the fight response.
Right. That rhyming thing. I just had to respond to that. But anyway.
Yep. And it's a real catchy little lingo, and it helps us to see how our body, we're frightened. So we either flight, we run away, or if we have to fight.
Right.
And we start with adrenaline from the adrenal glands, and we can also, with unrelenting stress ongoing, it can get to the point where our adrenals start to wear out. They're not infallible. It's like making a horse run an extra 20 miles. You know, that horse is going to be fatigued.
Eventually.
Yeah. So if we, with ongoing, that's why we want to try to regulate and manage our stress levels to help, so we don't end up being like a horse that has to run 20 extra miles every day.
Right.
And with fatigued adrenals, then adrenal gland fatigue can influence muscles on the same nerve circuit, in particular muscles called sartorius muscles that are situated in the thigh area. And that can lead to imbalance or a lessening of support to the low back. We can end up with low back pain. And this is referred to oftentimes as emotional low back pain. High emotional stress can trigger adrenal glands, can trigger the sartorius muscle, can trigger low back pain, emotional low back pain. And we'll talk more about stress management right after this station identification.
Sure thing. You are listening to WJTN News Talk 1240 on your AM dial, and this is the Healthy You radio program. It's brought to you today by Dr. Richard Hansen in Southern Tier Chiropractic. To learn more about good health, you can find Dr. Hansen on the internet at rsh-dc.com. Dr. Hansen can also be reached at his office here in Jamestown at 664-0445 inside the Medical Arts Building. And now back to Dr. Richard Hansen for more on stress management.
Well, John, there's a guy by the name of Dr. Hans Selye back in about the 50s, I think, of that other century.
Yeah.
And he was the first that really started addressing the bodily stress reaction and what can overburden that bodily stress reaction and what happens when it does, when the body is overburdened by that stress reaction. And he's the one that really started looking more at the adrenal glands and how it can influence our overall health and other parts of the body that react in stress as well. So if we are in the midst of danger, we need to flight or fright. So there's the fright, flight, or fight. And we have to, our emotions, as we talked about, our emotions are connected to our body. There's a whole, if we're frightened, then there's a bodily reaction. And adrenal glands are a major part of that to trigger the body into this action. And our blood glucose levels start to increase during this reaction. So there's energy to the muscles to run away, for example. Our respiration rate starts to increase so we can get more oxygen into the body. The heart rate starts to increase so we can pump that oxygen throughout the body. We increase perspiration to keep the body cooled off so we don't overheat. Our muscle tone increases. Our pupillary size and our eyes increase so we can see better in case it's, dusk or dawn or something like that. And also what happens is that the body pulls its stores of energy toward the musculoskeletal system, and so it diminishes capacity towards internal organ capacity, including and in particular digestive system and the immune system. Because if we have a diminishment, if we need our energy toward the musculoskeletal system, we can't say, hey, wait a minute, we need to digest lunch first. Your digestive system has a tendency to start to clear out. And everybody's heard about people having accidents when they're frightened. Well, that's part of it. It's a bodily reaction. It says we've clear this out because we need energy for the muscles.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes sense now. Okay. So
often wondered that.
that's what happens. The body clears out in a dramatic example.
Yeah.
And the immune capacity can diminish as well because in the immune capacity temporarily involves pain and inflammation. Well, we can't afford to have pain, for example, during that moment. You know, if a mother has to run to save a child, she'll run across in bare feet. She'll run through glass. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And you can't be thinking about pain right then, like, ouch, ooh, ouch, 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 yeah. Ouch. No, you got to get over there. So our pain capacity is diminished, and that's part of the immune system. So our immune system can be temporarily diminished as well. Well, if it's prolonged and excessive, then all of a sudden our digestive system starts to get problematic. Our immune system gets problematic. Our blood glucose levels get problematic. It all starts to have problems. So we need to, the stress reaction is very beneficial in the short term, but not in a long term. and we need to be able to let it relax and recuperate. And those are the kind of things we need to take care of. Just a quick overview on the anatomical connections and how it connects together. There's a place in the brain called the hypothalamus.
Okay.
And the hypothalamus connects to the frontal lobe in the brain, which is thought and reasoning in the frontal lobe. And then that can connect to hypothalamus to the autonomic nervous system. Those are the nerves into the internal organs. And it can connect to the hormonal system in the body. And it also connects to the limbic system, which is the emotional center in the brain. And that's very important to, with all these connections, that means now that if we have an increased emotions in the limbic system, that's going to trigger the hypothalamus into action, which is going to influence nerves in the autonomic nervous system to the internal organs, connection to the hormonal system through the pituitary and the adrenal glands and the thyroid and other parts of the hormonal system.
Oh, yeah.
And our body starts to react. And I just wanted to mention to people how there's a anatomical connection on how this all interacts. And so that's the approach in my work, is to connect all of these aspects together to try to look toward emotions from a physiological point of view, not necessarily as a counselor, but to help the bodily capacity and that stress reaction, to look toward internal organ capacities, to look toward the musculoskeletal system, and to look at the neurologic interconnections all through that together. Because with long-term stress, we can end up with decreased immune and digestive system capacity. As I mentioned before, we can end up with muscle tension, colds, flus, allergies, headaches, and excessive or long-term stress. And they're beginning to find now that most disorders that people come up against are stress-related.
Okay,
and
right.
So that means that there are things that we can do ourselves to keep ourselves healthy. We have the capacity to help ourselves with our overall health. Natural health care addresses and is based upon the fact that we have the capability to combat the threat of stress and disease. We can do something about it. We have the capability to maintain a strong and active and vibrant life. We need not perceive ourselves as weak, frail. We can do something to regain our strength, stamina, and endurance and overall health. In the musculoskeletal system, the organic and visceral system, the neuroemotional, those are big terms, but that takes us right back to the triad of health,
right,
where we want that triangle to be equal again and in terms of the somatovisceral reflex pattern, muscles and organs on the same nerve circuit, and so that one part of our health doesn't necessarily influence the other, and high emotions can influence internal organs. And this whole concept of that's holistic healthcare, folks, and that's how it works. And it sounds like big terms, but it's very simple that you can't ignore one part of our health to work on another. You have to address the whole thing. We can do that ourselves, and we can have an apple every day to help keep the doctor away. Of course, our modern healthcare is fantastic, but it is important to participate in your own health, and you'll be really glad you did.
So in a nutshell, I mean, you want to make sure that you remain happy. Be happy about yourself and your life.
That's right.
And less stress, and exercise to work on your muscles and your skeletal system, and then also eat healthy to help your internal organs. And then there's the holistic type care.
That's it.
I mean.